one great thing to do is to go home, amen? Everybody likes going home. You know, it's nice to sit back and relax and go home. But one thing I really enjoy is going home to the house of the Lord, coming here on a Sunday and being with brothers and sisters in Christ, right? You know, it's encouraging, as I see Mr. Harper and his wife singing and Jerry singing. It's encouraging because I grew up in this church, and it's encouraging to see people serve the Lord. It's encouraging to me. The elders of the church are very encouraging to me. I don't think they really realize, but I watch them a lot, and I examine their lives a lot, and I study them, and I want to be like them because they want to be like Christ, and that's encouraging to me. So, and that's what I want to be like. I want to be like the wise man who walks with wise men, and won't be with the companions of fools. But if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Before I read that verse, 1 Corinthians 10, I'd like to share with you that continue to pray for our pastor, you know, as he continues to heal here. And his voice, I can tell, it's not doing the greatest still. You know, he's a godly man, a fear guy who fears God, loves the Lord. If you ever need a man to go to for a counsel, you can go to Pastor, and he's such a... Pastor, I can't read the rest of your words here. I'm really terribly sorry about that. I still get the $20, though, right? It's got really hard writing, you know? I'm a Waltz. You got to forgive me. I got to say something. I saw this on the internet the other day. My wife and I had a good laugh at it. I thought I'd share it with you. It's about the song leader and the pastor. I got to put on my glasses here. There was a church where the preacher and the minister of music were not getting along. As time went by, this began to affect the worship service. The first week, the preacher preached on commitment and how we all should dedicate ourselves to the service of God. The song leader closed with the song, "I Shall Not Be Moved." The second week, the preacher preached on tithing and how we all should gladly give to the work of the Lord. The song leader closed with the song, "Jesus Paid It All." Need to pray for our song leader. The third week, the preacher preached on gossiping and how we should all watch our tongues and what we should say. The song leader closed in, "I Love to Tell the Story." The fourth week, the preacher preached on alcohol, and if he had all the alcohol and beer in the world, that he would throw it all away in the river. The song leader closed that night with, "Shall we gather by the river?" The fifth week, with all this going on, the preacher became very disgusted and disgusted over the situation. The following Sunday, told the congregation that he was considering resigning. The song leader closed that night, "Why not tonight?" As it came to pass, the preacher did indeed resign the next week. Informed the church that it was God that led him there and it was God who was taking him away. The song leader closed with the song, "What a friend we have in Jesus." You need to pray for our song leader over there, you know. I'm telling you, this is just not right. Just, the Bible is right when it says, "Laughter doeth good like a medicine." So oftentimes, ones that I want to go to who encourage me, make me laugh, is Mr. Crane over there. You can always get me to laugh. And certain of you over there, and it's encouraging to laugh. And I see Mr. Brunel always, he's wanting me to tell this story. See, this, I got to tell it right quick, and I'll get right to the message. I still got 25 minutes, I think. But one time, my wife and I, we got into this fight, and I know some of you already know it, forgive me, some of you don't know this. Wife got in this fight, and there was once, we hadn't seen each other for 2 whole weeks straight, right? So anyway, long story short, she decides to finally work up the courage to come on her, you know, come into the bedroom. And she, the next thing she says to me, she says, "You come out from underneath that bed and fight like a man, you wuss." Right? So, you know, long story short, that wasn't her, that was, you know, that was me. 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." As we look at that verse tonight, I want us to consider a couple of things. Tonight's title of the message is Five-Star Christian. Are you a five-star Christian? Now, this message I had to give I heard it somewhere. I heard it off my father-in-law, actually. I didn't hear it preached, but I heard it from him. I don't really know who preached it, but it was a good idea, and I thought I would take that and open that to you tonight. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Do everything to the honor and glory of God. I hope that is your goal, to do all to the honor and glory of God. If that is not your goal, if your goal is to be here tonight for the pleasing of men, or the goal is to please your pastor, or the goal is to please your friend, well, then you're coming for the wrong reason. You know, we ought to want to glorify God's name and give all the honor and glory to God. Five-star Christian. Look, it's five simple things. Just want to take a five simple points to give to you tonight. And as we look at those, we will meditate on them, see what the Word of God has to us to say. When I went to school, there was five subjects that I always wanted to be good in. Math, English, science, social studies, and number one, gym. I always loved gym and just loved playing in gym because I'm kind of a competitive person. But in those five things, I always strove for perfection, strove to be the best. I wanted to be the best, right? And as we're looking at this, I want to first point I want to give to you is prayer. Are you a five-star Christian? The first thing I want to look at is prayer. Do you, as a Christian, pray? Do you pray and seek God's face? Go over to Psalms 55, verse 17, if you've gone over there with me. Psalms 55. Verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and ye shall hear my voice. Do you pray three times a day? Do you pray once a day? Do you pray two times a day? Now, some of you might say, I say this a lot to the teens, right, in teen class. Some of you say, yeah, I pray three times a day. I pray breakfast, lunch, and supper. That's not what I'm talking about here. Do you pray three times a day? Do you love God that you will give Him three times a day? You know, God deserves much more than that. My father-in-law was very encouraging to me at times when I would come over to their house sometimes, and the man would be praying downstairs for like 2 hours, or maybe that's exaggerating, but surely really long time. And it would be encouraging to me because it would make me think, I, as a Christian, need to pray. I, as a Christian, need to talk to God. Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your flesh constantly wants to do what is bad. Your flesh constantly wants to do what is bad. Your flesh, this is your flesh, and this is your new man. The spirit indeed is willing to do what is right, but the flesh is weak. You have your old man, and you have your new man. And you constantly feed one or two of those other people. You either feed the old man or you feed the new man. You read your Bible, you pray, you go to church, much more than that actually. It comes beyond than just reading and praying. You apply God's word into your life, the new man's going to come out on top, right? But if you don't read and pray and you yield to temptation and you give in to that anger, like sometimes I'm tempted to do, just give in to anger sometimes, when we lose sports or something foolish like that, then the old man is going to come out on top, right? So you need to feed the new man. Constantly be feeding the new man. Matthew 14, 23. This is a great example that our Lord Jesus set for us about praying. And when he had sent into the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to depart and pray. And evening was come, and he was there alone. He was alone. Jesus was alone. How many times when we pray, we want to be seen of men and we want to be heard of men? We want men to hear our great prayers, or we'll just pray around other people because it's just, I want to be seen as a godly guy, so I'm going to pray out loud and let these people hear my prayer because it's what I have to say. And forgive me for not starting this way, but I normally do start this way whenever I preach. If anything that you see good in me, it's not me. I can guarantee it. It is not me by any stretch of imagination. It's just Jesus working through me. And all the honor and glory needs to go to Him. Every bit of it. So first, start as a Christian. Do you pray as an individual? Do you pray? Or do you need mom and dad to tell you, hey, you should pray now. Kids, you should pray before bed. You know? Do you constantly have somebody at you getting you to try to pray? Secondly, you guessed it, read. Do you read God's Word? Can I ask you a question? How can you read God's Word if your Bible is still in the pew? Sometimes when we're closing here Sunday night or sometimes we see Bibles in the pews. How can you pray without your Bible? You need your Bible to pray. You need your Bible to read, sorry. You need to read your Bible daily. Read. Let's go over to Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written within. Do you meditate on God's Word? You know, I'm not just saying, like, reading it. Sometimes my wife is the complete opposite of me, as most husbands and wives are. Opposites attract. But my wife has a schedule, and she goes through all these things that she needs to read. All these things, and it's just schedule, schedule, schedule. And that's really good to have. And I'm not downsizing that by any stretch of the imagination. But when you get too much into a routine, your heart's not in it. And your heart's got to be in it. You've got to want to read God's Word. Your kids, I don't have kids, someday, Lord willing, maybe. But your kids watch you, and I watch you guys as I was opening to this morning. I can really see that some of you love God's Word. I can tell that you read it, because when we talk, your speech says it. Right? And it's encouraging to me that you read God's Word. Psalms 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. God's word is truth. Psalms 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust in him. God's word is true. God's word will not fail you. God's word is true. You know, when I was growing up, my brother loved to pick on me, right? I don't know, Zach's down there with a big smile on his face. Chris and Josh picked on him a lot too. My brother loved to pick on me, right? And one of the things that the brothers will say to you is lies. They love to lie to their little brothers just to get them scared, right? They just love lying to their little brothers. So my brother said to me once, this is what he says, okay? I said to him, I said, Josh, what's a serial killer? And he looked at me and he said, Adam, serial killer is when you are eating cereal, right? What happens, you see, is what these guys do, they go up from behind you and they stick your face in the bowl, right? And they just hold you there until you drown and you die, right? So it's like scared to death. Those must be like 6 years old or 5 years old, scared to death, right? So every time I go to eat the bowl of Cheerios, I'd be looking around, you know? So one time he got me good, and he said, he told me that that's what a serial killer was, so I believed him, right? Obviously that's not true, right? It's not truth, right? So long story short, I let my guard down one day. I had a, you know, big mouthful, and he comes up from behind me, and he grabs me by the back of the head, and he sticks my face in the bowl. And my arms and legs were going everywhere, and I was just scared to death, right? That is not truth. That is not what a serial killer is, right? It's a funny story, funny example, but it's so easy to get deceived what truth really is, right? Someone can say to you, hey, you should do this. Or someone can say, hey, you should come to my church. What's different from your church and my church? I go to a Seventh-day Adventist church and tell you what we do, right? And they can manipulate the truth and convince you to go to their church. But search the scriptures for yourself, right? Read God's word. Two stars, pray. Do you pray? Another star, do you read? See if you can guess the third one. Go to church. Do you, as an individual, go to church? You know where I'm going with this. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. Don't miss out on church. Every time the doors are open, be at church. One of the first things that I said when I got saved was I'm going to be faithful to church. When the doors are open, I'm going to be faithful to church. And there was a good long period of time, not that I was keeping track, but I think I missed church once when I first got saved, probably twice in like 2 years. Not to say anything great about myself or anything like that, but I'm just saying that every time the doors are open, you ought to want to be in church. Why would you not want to be in church? It's God's people. Are you saved? Do you want to be with God's people? Or do you want to be out in the world? Going to church every time the doors are open. Not just going to church and showing up on time. Help out the pastor every now and then. Help out the song leader. Help out the special music. Be on time, you know. Be better than on time. Be early. 10 minutes early. 15 minutes, 20 minutes early. Right? Some of the greatest things that I like doing is coming to church early. Because why? I get to talk to people. I get to either A, encourage someone, or B, they encourage me. Right? And oftentimes, you will find that when someone is discouraged and down and depressed, they'll stop going to church. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you want to be encouraged, you should go to church. You should be with God's people. That's the third star. Fourth star, tithing. How many of you tithe? Right? Five-star Christian without the fourth. Tithing. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Don't rob God of the tithes. I'll tell you one thing. I said this to the teens this morning. Why would you be so selfish of taking that 10% when God allows you 90% of it? Think about it. Think in a big picture. God is giving you, let's say you have 100%, right? You got your pay. You're excited. I just got paid. I got bills to pay. You know, I've got this and I've got that. And it just so happens that when we put it all together, 10% will pretty much cover our fun cost of what we want to do and how we want to enjoy it. But wait a minute. That 10% belongs to God. That doesn't belong to you. God is generous enough to say, here you go. You have 90%. All have 10, right? Give. It's the fourth star in Christian life. I can guarantee if you keep these stars in your life, it will help you in your Christian walk with the Lord. Final star, telling others. Do you tell others about Jesus? Do you tell others that there is a heaven and a hell? I don't know about you, but I'm sure thankful that someone wasn't selfish when they told me. I'm sure thankful that camp counselor, which he probably doesn't even remember me anymore. Maybe he does, because he led me to the Lord. His name was Jose, the big guy, you know. And he was a nice guy, and he led me to the Lord at Camp Forest Glen. I believe it was Mrs. Burrell and a couple of us went up there that year. And I got saved that year. And I got to say, I'm really thankful that he never withheld that truth. That he didn't say, oh, should I tell him? Should I not? You know, and I'm thankful he didn't say no. Thankfully he said yes. I'm going to tell this guy about Jesus, right? Do you tell others? I'm going to tell you a story. Once, when we were doing teen class in Ontario, there was a teen class in, every Friday nights back in Ontario. We would often say to the teenagers, my father-in-law, which is my pastor at then, telling others, witnessing to people, right, is a very important key. And not just telling others, people at gas station, but your friends that you go to school with, right, your coworkers, people that are constantly around you, tell them about Jesus. This is an amazing story, and it's a shocking story. This young man named Chad Houghton, he witnessed to a guy named Brad. In a school, He went to a public school, so he witnessed to a young man named Brad. And I think I talked to you a couple of you about Brad. But anyway, getting back to the story, Chad witnessed to Brad, and he said first to him, "Hey man, do you want to come on out to Friday night youth group? We're going to play some ball hockey." And Brad said, "No man, I've got some plans tonight. Thanks, but no thanks." So it turns out that night, actually, he went home and just played some video games. And that's what he told us later on in life, that he went home and played some video games and he was very bored and he wished he would come. So and then Chad, the following week, said, "Hey, Brad, we got hockey again. Friday night, we're taking advantage of the weather. It's a little cold. We're going to go on out, play some ice hockey." And then Brad said, "Yeah, you know what? I think you're going to do that." So when he came on out, and he came out to youth group that night, you should have seen the guy. Big fro, you know, big fro, long baggy jeans and shirt. Kind of looked like me when I was a kid, right? Hard case, right? But so when he heard the message that night, and he got thinking. So and then Chad witnessed to him again. Hey brother, what'd you think about Friday night youth group? "I've been thinking about it." He gave him a track. Started reading the track. Then before you know it, online, they started talking online. And then Brad just says, "I want to be saved. I want to come to know the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior." And the Lord gave me the strength not to cry about it, because long story short, this guy, Brad, he almost feels like a son to me in some regards, because the guy got saved, he changed his life, he got kicked out of his house, actually, because he took a stand for God and he wanted to do what was right. And he came and lived with a buddy of mine for about 2 years, maybe a year and a half. And we basically took this guy through the Word of God, tried to disciple him, because this guy was on fire. He wanted to know about God's Word. He wanted to study it. He wanted to meditate on it. He wanted to read it. So we told him, basically, started off short, so cut his hair, you know, got some nice clothes. You know, he started listening to good godly music, going to church, and the guy's life went like this. From going one way, and he did this, and he went the other way. 180, right? Don't do the 360 like some Christians do. They get saved, they do the 180, and they're content with doing what God wants them to do, and then they look back into the world, and then they walk back into the world's way again. Don't do that. You'll regret it. Five-star Christian, do you have those five stars in your life? You're praying. Do you pray? Do you read? Do you go to church? Do you tithe? Do you tell others? Sorry, I didn't give you the verse for telling others. Obviously, you know this one, Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This five-star Christian will help you in your walk with the Lord. I often ask myself sometimes, a lot, do I pray enough? Do I pray on how God would want me to pray? Do I read God's Word as much as He would want me to read? If you made a book, and you were the author, Pastor Bateman, author, right? And he published it, and no one read it. It'd make you feel pretty sad, wouldn't it? It'll make me feel pretty sad. God has given us the truth. God has given us His Word. Read it. Meditate on it. I often think, am I doing my part? Am I reading God's Word? Am I pleasing God when I come to think of these things? Do I pray? Do I read God's Word? You know, do I go to church all the time whenever the doors are open? Do I tithe? And do I tithe with a good attitude? May I add? Or do we just tithe? Oh man, gotta give that 10% again. That's like $200, $300, whatever. That's a lot of money. I can get this and I can get that. No. And do I tell others? Am I constantly telling others about God? Sometimes you're at the gas station, right? You're pumping gas. And there's a guy right next to you over there. And sometimes you're convicted to think, maybe if I gave that guy a track, he might get saved, just like Brad did. when he got a track and he got saved. Five-star Christian, do you categorize as a five-star Christian? Is God pleased with you and these five stars? Do you pray? Do you read? Do you go to church? Do you tithe? And you tell others? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this night.